We believe that this is the inerrant word of the one and only true and living God. It is the only infallible rule for our faith and its practice. So hear now the word of our God from 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Have you ever asked yourself this question? How do I know that I am saved? But it's a pretty important question, right? That's a question with eternal ramifications and one that we should answer. Now, many different people will give you different answers to this question. There's one particular group that, you know, has a guy in Rome with a funny hat that is the head of them. And, well, they will give you an answer to that. They'll say, how do you know that you're saved? Well, you can't, but you can, for some assurance, look to your works. You need to be doing good works because, after all, James said, faith without works is dead. And so that's how you know that you're saved, is your works. Oh, you messed up? Well, you'll have to do some stuff to make up for it. Say five Our Fathers, and that'll make up for it, because that's how prayer works, is you're doing something nice for God. Let's not think about that too much. You messed up really bad? Well, you're going to have a sacrifice to actually take that sin away. Jesus was already sacrificed, and Scripture says that he's the only sacrifice, but just do what we say. We come from the apostles. You died without doing all of your penance? Well, get ready to suffer in purgatory. And don't worry, we'll pray that you get out soon. That's one answer to the question. But then there are other people that would say, no, no, no. You need to remember that you prayed a certain prayer. Don't you remember you were in this place on this day and you said these magic words? That's how you know that you're saved. Oh, you didn't understand? You better pray it again. That, you know, the time before might not have worked. Oh, you didn't mean it? Well, you better pray it again. After all, that time before might not have worked. There are many other answers that people could give to this question, but what is the Bible's answer to this question? How do I know that I am saved? Well, our text this morning in a couple of different places tells us, by this we shall know, and then later it says, by this we know. So, John is telling us that we can have assurance of our salvation based on what is in the text this morning. So let's turn to it then. In verse 19, he says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. Now, what is this? Well, this is pointing back to last week's text where he says, little children, let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth. So let it never be said that just because we believe in sola fide, justification by faith alone, let it never be said that that means we don't believe in good works. After all, verse 19 tells us that loving in deed and in truth is an evidence that we are in Christ. And it is a source of reassurance as we see progress in our sanctification. We shouldn't shy away from this. For, beloved, we are God's children. I've read that somewhere. And our lives should show that we are God's children. You should be able to look at your life and see evidence of the Spirit's work. In fact, we asked every member that we received this morning, how would you answer that question? If someone asked you for the fruit of the Spirit's work in your life, what would you say? Husbands, you should be able to point to loving your wife better as time goes on. Parents, you should be able to point to shepherding your children well as time goes on. And children, you should be able to say that you are obeying your parents more and more as time goes on. Each of us in our different callings in life should be able to point to the Spirit's sanctifying work. But at the end of the day, if we are being honest, we will have to admit that even the progress that we've made in sanctification is embarrassing. Because it is both. Right? John MacArthur said, sanctification means you do better and you feel worse. Because your eyes are open more and more to what sin really is and how much of it you have. And so if we're being honest, we'll have to say that even our repentance isn't very good. Even our effort isn't enough. And we know it. And our hearts will tell us. You say you're in Christ, but do you remember when you did this? You say you've been washed clean of all your sins, but would someone who's a child of God, and just fill in the blank. Yet whenever our hearts condemn us, as the text says, they will. It says, whenever our heart condemns us. Not if ever our heart condemns us. Whenever our hearts condemn us. When Satan tempts you to despair and tells you of the guilt within, well, upward you may look and see him there who made an end of all your sin. I love that verse of that hymn. We're going to sing it later, I think. Because a sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God, the just, is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. When our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. God knows your sin, and yet he showers his love on you in Christ. God knows your doubts, and yet he gives his promises to you to comfort your heart. God knows your desire to be like Christ, and so he gives his Spirit to work within you. God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. And so, Christian, do not trust in your own works. Yes, you should see progress in your sanctification, but where our assurance truly lies is in the promises of God. For you see, John immediately moves in verse 21 from a Christian who trusts in his works to a Christian who trusts in the triune God. For he says in verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. The Christian who trusts in God has a heart that no longer condemns him, because what can the heart say against the very word of God? Your heart condemns you, but you know that Christ said, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out, but will raise him up on the last day. Your heart condemns you, but your heart also must know that Paul said that God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Your heart condemns you, and yet you know that Paul said that this is a trustworthy saying and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save those who were worthy of it. No, Christ Jesus came into the world to save those who had started doing a good job and could earn it. No, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, but not like super bad sinners. No, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul said, of whom I am the worst. And so knowing the word of God, knowing his promises, our hearts can have confidence in his promises. And having this confidence, the believer can now boldly approach God's throne. As we read in verse 22, where John says, whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. So now the believer can come before God's throne, and he knows what to ask for, and he knows that he will receive it. Why? Well, that answer gets a little more complicated. For verse 22 on the surface would seem to indicate that, well, this is a reward for good works. We know we'll receive what we ask for because we do God's commandments and do what pleases to him. However, John in verse 22 is simply stating what he will say later in chapter 5, verse 14, that we must pray in accordance with God's will. That's what our own catechism says, right? What is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires to God for things agreeable to his will. In the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Karen Jobes, in her commentary on this, argues that John is saying that the one who keeps God's commandments will know what God's will is and therefore will ask for things agreeable to his will. And while that's possible, I think that there is another possibility. And I want to be very careful and tread very lightly and say, I think this is possible. I think that John is telling us that if we ask God, if we pray to God, that we would keep his commandments and do what is pleasing to him, that we will receive what we ask for. Because that Greek word hati, it can mean because, it can also mean that. And there are many problems. I wrestled with even putting this in the sermon because the verbs aren't in the subjunctive, and I could go down a whole list of arguments for and against this. I could be wrong about what John is saying here, but I'm not wrong that this is true. That if we come to God and we pray that we would keep his commandments, if we pray that we would do what is pleasing to him, that we will receive what we ask for. That is true. Augustine famously prayed exactly like this when in his confessions, in his autobiography, he prayed, O Lord, command what you will and grant what you command. Because Augustine knew that he could not in his own power do what God commanded. And so he had to ask God to give him the strength to keep his commandments. And so having the confidence in the promises of God, having boldness to go before God's throne, we should pray without ceasing that God would conform us to the image of Christ. We should pray that God would cause us to walk in his commandments. And what is this commandment that we should pray that God would cause us to walk in it? Well, it is trust in the name of Christ. I know the English translation says that we believe in the name of Christ, but the word's pistuo, that's faith. That we would trust in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, that we would not lean on our own works, that we would not trust in our own strength, but that we would trust in the name of Christ, and that we would love one another as he has loved us. By this all people will know that you are his disciples. By this the watching world will know that you abide in God and he abides in you if you love one another." That's what Christ said to his disciples. That's what John is the one who actually records that for us. "That by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." That is what you might call coram mundo. I know, Latin is so much fun, isn't it? Before the watching world, how do people know that we belong to Christ? It is in that we love one another as our Savior has loved us. But what about coram Deo, before God? How do we have confidence before God that we are in Christ? Well, before God, we have an advocate who died for our sins. Before God, we have the Holy Spirit, God himself, ever with us, bearing witness that we are adopted by the Father and conforming us to the image of Christ. By this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given to us. For beloved, we have not received the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but we have received the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we cry, "Abba, Father." We have received the forgiveness of sins by the work of Christ on our behalf, and we have received the love of the Father showered upon us. Having received this love and this grace, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, may it never be. But may we ever go to the throne of God and pray and cry out that he would cause us more and more to die to sin and live to righteousness, knowing that we are in Christ and Christ is in God, that we abide in God and God himself, the Holy Spirit, abides in us, that we stand before our God justified, adopted, and evermore sanctified and made holy as he is holy. For Christians, this is the word of the Lord. And thanks be to God. Let us pray.